Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. So first, the authors and I have no conflict of interest, and the study was funded in part through the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, the National Institute of Arthritis and Musculoskeletal and Skin Diseases, and the European Center for Environment and Human Health. The greening of the U.S. economy has created green-collar jobs, and the main purpose of these types of jobs are to improve the quality of the environment. And some sample job duties are protecting ecosystems, reducing energy usage, or lowering carbon emissions. So here you can see some of the products of green-collar workers. We have windmills and solar panels to generate electricity, and electric or hybrid cars. So because green-collar workers are a new sector in the workforce, we don't know much about the psychosocial occupational hazards that these types of workers experience. And we know from previous literature and other workers that psychosocial hazards can lead to poor physical and or mental health, so things such as depression or coronary heart disease. So the purpose of the current study was to compare the psychosocial workplace hazards in green versus non-green collars. And specifically, we looked at work-life imbalance, job insecurity, and workplace harassment. We used two main data sources. The first was the 2010 National Health Interview Survey Occupational Supplement. And briefly, the NHIS is an annual cross-sectional survey that provides nationally representative estimates of the non-institutionalized U.S. population. And specifically, the supplement provides estimates of the prevalence of common workplace exposures and work-related health conditions. So to be in the analytics sample, NHIS respondents had to be currently working or have worked in the past 12 months. The demographic variables that we calculated from the NHIS were sex, age, race, ethnicity, educational attainment, and self-reported quality of life. And the dependent variables, like I mentioned before, were work-life imbalance, job insecurity, and workplace harassment. So specifically, the questions about the dependent variables from the NHIS. If a respondent indicated that they strongly agreed or agreed with the following statement, "I am worried about becoming unemployed," they were coded as having job insecurity. If a respondent strongly disagreed or disagreed with the statement, "It is easy for me to combine work with family responsibilities," they were coded as having work-life imbalance. And if a respondent indicated yes to the statement, "During the past 12 months, were you threatened, bullied, or harassed by anyone while on the job?" they were indicated as having job harassment. The ONET database is the second method that we used. It stands for the Occupational Information Network Online, and we use the 2010 version. And this is a publicly available online database that is the nation's primary source of up-to-date occupational information. It's sponsored by the Department of Labor and has information on over 900 occupations. So some things that they include about jobs are worker characteristics or experience requirements for certain jobs. And we got the main independent variable of interest, which was green-collar worker status, from the ONET database. So both the NHIS and the ONET have job codes. The NHIS has census occupation codes, which were supplied by the Research Data Center at the National Center for Health Statistics. The ONET uses standard occupation classification titles, or SOC codes. And we use the publicly available crosswalk to link both of the data sets using these job codes. So we had 13,797 respondents, about 2,600 green-collar workers, and 11,198 non-green-collar workers. Among the green-collar workers, about 74% were male, about 57% were between the ages of 18 and 44, and about 60% had greater than a high school education. Among the non-green-collar workers, about 41% were male, about 58% were between the ages of 18 and 44, and about 65% had greater than a high school education. So continuing with the demographic information, among the green-collar workers, 78% were white, about 82% were non-Hispanic, and about 88% reported that they had an excellent, very good, or good quality of life, and this is relative to a self-reported fair or poor quality of life. Among the non-green collar workers, about 75% were white, about 80% were non-Hispanic, and about 87% had an excellent, very good, or good quality of life. Regarding the dependent variables, fortunately, all of the workers didn't report that they had a lot of psychosocial hazards. About 6% of green collar workers indicated that they had experienced job harassment, about 35% indicated that they had job insecurity, and about 18% reported that they had work-life imbalance. And among the non-green collar workers, about 8% reported that they had been harassed on the job, about 33% reported that they had job insecurity, and about 16% reported that they had work-life imbalance. So we utilized the multivariable logistic regression model to predict work-life imbalance, job insecurity, and workplace harassment in green versus non-green collar workers. And these models were adjusted for the demographic variables that I mentioned before: gender, age, race, ethnicity, educational attainment, and self-reported quality of life. And we defined statistical significance as an alpha less than 0.05. So green collar workers relative to non-green collar workers had about 18% higher odds of having work-life imbalance, about 16% higher odds of job insecurity, and about 21% lower odds of having job harassment. So although these are all significant, you can see that the effect sizes are pretty small. So the strengths and limitations, we used a cross-sectional design that was self-report, and the other speakers reminded me about unmeasured and residual confounding, which is also a big limitation. And although we used a crosswalk to link the data sets, there is some potential for misclassification of the main exposure, which was the green collar status variable. The strengths are that we use a nationally representative survey that had large sample sizes, and the data sets are rich in this occupational information. And to our knowledge, this is the first study to examine the psychosocial occupational hazards in this emerging workforce. So in conclusion, green collar workers are exposed to new job tasks and work requirements that could potentially expose them to new psychosocial hazards. And we found in our study that they had greater work-life imbalance and greater job insecurity. Future studies could include additional psychosocial hazards, so using the demand control model, and we recommend that longitudinal cohort studies are conducted in order to follow these hazards over time. So some future work, as recommended by a journal reviewer, we are going to change the logistic regression to either log binomial or a modified Poisson regression for the outcomes that are common, so over 10%, which were the work-life imbalance and job insecurity, to get a better measure of the risk. And we're going to include some other potential covariates that could explain the relationship between the green collar status and the dependent variables, such as if they were working in a part-time job or if they had a lot of job turnover. We're also going to look at the distribution of green collar jobs by traditional industry categories. So this would be the white collar workers, blue collar workers, or service or farm workers. And we're also going to see if there's any significant differences in the demographic and dependent variables of the green versus the non-green collar workers. So thank you for listening. Our research group information can be found at umiamiorg.com.